Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Walking Zealous for Good Works. Chapter 4. Zealous for good works because of the dignity of God and the proclamation of the glory of God to the world. Recalling the theme Walking in an Acceptable and Worthy Way of God, we would like to highlight once again the consideration that although walking in the newness of life is aimed at the benefit of the person who walks in this novelty, a Christian is also called to walk in newness of life because of the very marvelous, perfect, and sublime dignity of one's God and Lord. And the purpose of recalling the walking worthy of God, because the Lord is worthy of every Christian to walk in this way, is to point out that this same principle similarly applies to walking zealously in good works to which God calls Christians to walk in them, for the Lord is equally worthy that Christians choose to walk in good works for the greatness of their Lord's dignity, love, and sovereignty. Although, throughout the present theme, we have presented that a Christian is called to walk in the way and in the actions of good works to which one has been called by God because this is beneficial to the Christian, we want to highlight in this new chapter that a Christian should also be zealous of good works because one's God, one's eternal Lord and Savior, is fully worthy that one does so. When a Christian is willing to be zealous to walk worthy of the Lord in one's daily life, which also includes acting in everything as one who is always serving God and practices the good works to which one is called by God, this Christian recognizes the sublimity of the Lord and that everything that God proposes is good and righteous. That is, one recognizes that all of God's judgments, opinions, or interventions are according to the truth and the heavenly righteousness. An aspect also proclaimed in songs by countless people before the Lord, as follows. Revelation 15:2-4. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. When a Christian is willing to know the works that God has already established as being good works to walk in them and perform them, and still does so because of the worthiness of God, one recognizes practically, and not just with one's mouth, how much trustworthy the Lord is and how worthy in everything the most diverse immeasurably precious virtues of the Heavenly Father, the Beloved Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are. So, here again, we see that the fact that a Christian can be a co-worker with the Almighty God, who is righteous in all things and full of grace and mercy, has no reference to a call to an obligatory subjection to a heavy burden. On the contrary, it is a call to a privileged condition in which the Christian can praise one's eternal Lord by whom one was created, but by whom one also was bought and redeemed, through the blood of Christ Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, from a life subject to sin and the consequences associated with it. When the Lord, through the Scriptures, teaches Christians that he has called them to good works also for the praise of his glory and that his name may be exalted among the nations, he is not calling them to vile servitude. Instead, he is calling them to voluntarily glorify the God who loves them and through whom Christians too can love God himself and their fellow men. In the voluntary choice of a Christian to walk in the works that God determines as works in line with his righteousness, the Lord is exalted in a very special way and whose exaltation the world awaits to see revealed. For the world that is under the yoke of bondage aims to see examples of people opting for good and the worship of God because they are free to do so and because they have found the one who is worthy of being the eternal beloved of their lives. Yes, the world awaits the revelation of Christians through good works done out of love for God, voluntarily, and because of their privilege to be able to choose to serve the one who is worthy of all worship, and not because an obligatory service is imposed on them, as essentially occurs in the models of the world dissociated from fellowship with the Lord or dissociated from the newness of life that is in Christ Jesus. The world awaits the revelation of Christians through good works done out of love for God, voluntarily, and because of their privilege to be able to choose to serve the Lord with an understanding of the way of truth and eternal life, and not because they have to serve by the spirit that terrifies, or by fear, through which the devil seeks to enslave multitudes. In the Lord Jesus Christ, a person has the freedom to serve for having been freed from the power of death, but also from the fear that this power seeks to impose on human beings, as also exemplified in the following texts. Hebrews 2:14-15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Yes, the world awaits the revelation of Christians through works done in God or in the light to know that it is possible for a person not to need to live and walk only in the weakness of mere natural strength and in obscurity regarding the heavenly will, but that there is a divine provision that accompanies those who are willing not to walk in the path of evil to also walk in the way of truth and eternal peace. The world awaits a more comprehensive witness that enables those who believe in the Lord to resist evil, but also not to remain only in resistance, being able yet, in the Lord, to move forward to also effectively do good. Let us see below some more texts that cooperate with the considerations of these last paragraphs. 1 Peter 2, 6-10. Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 8:19-21. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When we see the possibility that a Christian can be a living witness of God through what one does and says, whether before God or before one's fellow men, not out of obligation but as a privilege granted by the Lord to walk in good works, we can also understand the texts such as those that follow in one more brief list below. John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Luke 10:16. He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. John 13, 20. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. John 7, 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. 1 Peter 2, 11-12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Timothy 2, 1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, or eminence, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. John 17, 19-23. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. As we saw in the texts above, the scriptures, in some respects, even compare the possibility of Christians being able to bear witness to the glory of God with some similar situations through which the Lord Jesus Christ himself testified of the Heavenly Father to the world. Therefore, when one enters firmly or with zeal in the practice of walking in the good works for which a Christian is called to walk in Christ Jesus, also aiming to do it in love to glorify or exalt the eternal Lord, an immeasurable horizon of possibilities for a Christian to be able to cooperate with God is uncovered, because one can do it every day in everything one does, starting where one lives, moving on to where one works or studies, as well as when one meets other fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Philippians 1, 9-11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Furthermore, many other details and texts could be considered here concerning the topic addressed in this chapter. However, since the emphasis in it is to focus on being zealous because God is worthy for a Christian to live and walk in the Lord and His ways, and also considering that a more comprehensive detail of the role of Christians in the present world is already covered in the series The Life of the Christian in the World, and especially under the themes Works, Labors, and Services, and vocation, calling, and election, we would like in this chapter just briefly to recall four aspects or attributes for which the Lord has appointed Christians to be in the world to glorify Him, as well as to manifest good works according to the heavenly kingdom to witness to the world about the eternal Lord who grants them the freedom to do so, as follows. First attribute, you are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. In antiquity, salt certainly already had the connotation of contributing to food taste. However, It also had a connotation particularly associated with cooperation in preserving food so that it did not deteriorate. Thus, by attributing to Christians the characteristic of the salt of the earth, it seems to us that God, most likely, was teaching the Christians that he sees them as the salt of the earth so that the people of the world will always have near them the flavor of the testimony that there is in a differentiated life in God, but also so that life in the world does not deteriorate in the extreme. And this, that the people in it also may have abundant opportunities of knowing the way of remission and eternal salvation. When a Christian abides in the Lord so that one can walk in him and practice one's most diverse actions and utter words in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, one, through these postures and works, does a beneficial work for oneself, but also a work on behalf of many who still live in the present world. Colossians 4:5-6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. A Christian's prayer on behalf of the people of the world and one's appropriate posture in what one does can cooperate with the Lord and represent a significant resistance to the actions of darkness. If, on the one hand, the scriptures teach that not contained evil is like a destructive fire and that it does not stop plowing and consuming for destruction, on the other hand, the same scriptures also teach that in the presence of those who walk in the righteousness of God, of those who are the salt of the earth, evil finds limitations and impediments to progress. So, also by this, a Christian is called to pray continually to the Lord and to take one stand in Christ for that which is according to heavenly righteousness. Isaiah 9:18. For wickedness burns as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and kindle in the thickets of the forest, they shall mount up like rising smoke. Luke 18:1-6-7. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Second attribute, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14-6. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Highly sublime is the condition that a Christian receives before God to the point of being called the light of the world, which, once again, makes it evident why it is very significant for a Christian to be attentive to the call to also be zealous in everything one speaks, does, and to not omit oneself from one's function in the world through works that manifest one's light. On the other hand, it seems to us that it is also appropriate to point out once again that the light of a Christian or the light by which one becomes enabled to be the light of the world is Christ, having the Christian, by walking in the good works that God prepared to walk in them, great opportunities for this light to become also manifested in this way to the world. When a Christian does works according to the instruction and strength of the Lord, and yet recognizes that one does them in the name of Christ so that the light of the Lord may be evidenced to the world, one, through good works, also cooperates with the greater work of bringing light to the world that became subject to darkness. And so, one shows people who observe one's works that there is a real possibility of knowing the glory of the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus and that these people too may be illuminated by the same heavenly light to similarly have the privilege of walking in the light of the eternal Lord. Third attribute, the good fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? The Lord Jesus Christ taught us that eternal life is knowing God and the Son sent by the Heavenly Father to the world so that those who believe in the eternal gospel may be redeemed and saved in the Lord. Nevertheless, so that people estranged from God may know His offer of eternal life in Christ Jesus, the Lord manifests Himself in multiple ways so that they may become aware of the grace offered to them, also doing so by widely spreading the fragrance of His knowledge or His glory. As much as the power of darkness wants to make people turn away from God and forget Him entirely, the Lord exudes His fragrance throughout the world. This fragrance, in turn, causes people to be frequently reminded of how close God is to them. And every Christian is an expression of those who carry the fragrance of Christ and spread the knowledge of His glory wherever they go in the world. Even though, on the one hand, people distance themselves from their relationship with God because of the veil of unbelief or subjection to sin, the Lord, on the other hand, continues to remind them of His love for them, providing that the good fragrance of Christ always is close to them to let them know that in Christ Jesus they continue to be called to salvation by grace to the newness of eternal life in God. Christians are propagators of the good fragrance of Christ. In this way, when they do good works with love for the Lord, they exhale a perfume that can penetrate even the places that have been closed off from the light of God, reminding those who are in darkness that even though they are subject to darkness, the Heavenly Father continues to offer them salvation and eternal life in Him so that they may be redeemed from darkness to become part of the kingdom of the Son of His love. The good fragrance of Christ, spread throughout the world through Christians, expresses a continuous way of remembering the hope of the novelty life that there is in Christ Jesus for those who have already received salvation in the Lord. However, it is also manifested to those who are on the way that leads to death or perdition, warning them that the end is approaching in the sense that people may remember God and that they should turn their hearts to the Lord, to Him who is the fragrance and essence of the newness of life for the present and the eternity. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Thus, it is very precious to see a person carrying out one's daily task with disposition and joy because one does it as for the Lord. It is sublime to see a person positioning oneself in righteousness and honesty because one has the fear of the Lord in one's heart. It is highly valuable to see a person acting with true mercy amid a brutalized and cold world because one has the love of God in one's heart, for all these acts, in addition to cooperating with the one who practices them, still spread a pleasant fragrance amid a world subject to a lot of pain, anguish, and afflictions, consoling those who already belong to the Lord and calling to salvation those who are still dissociated from it. Fourth attribute, the living epistle or letter from God for people of the world to read. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Like the previous ones, this fourth characteristic of the lives of Christians is also highly relevant and sublime, for Christians are walking living letters that circulate everywhere in the world. Many people may refuse to read the Bible or hear the preaching of the gospel of God done in some specific place, but how will they avoid reading what happens in the lives of those who are of Christ and continually or often close to them? When, for example, a person wants to convince oneself that one is not loved by God, that God does not interact directly in favor of people's lives, or even that God does not exist, it may happen that one suddenly comes across a Christian who does a work by which God is glorified, thus showing to this individual testimony of life in the Lord in contrast to what one was inclined to think. Therefore, a Christian, as a living letter, can carry a communication to whom the Lord wants it to be communicated. Furthermore, a Christian is a living epistle that is continuously being read by people who know this Christian. People read and follow the excerpts of the letter that is being written each day by the postures, words, and actions of a Christian. If people detect life in the epistle, the possibility opens up for them to observe it even more. However, if they detect evil or dead works, they get annoyed with the letter, to the point that some may distance themselves even more from God because of what the letter transmits to them. Eventually, a Christian may commit mistakes. However, when one recognizes one's mistakes, repents of them, and receives the forgiveness granted by God, this action of repentance and humility is also recorded in the living epistle, which, in turn, signals to others that in Christ there is also the path of forgiveness and restoration of life. Psalms 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. In the Scriptures, the lives of many people were recorded as a letter so that we could observe them and learn from their example about the faith by which they lived despite their weaknesses and the circumstances in which they lived, as well as the mistakes they made and the stumbles they incurred. However, also from what was witnessed about these lives, we can notice the central aspect that supported them, which is the action of God towards them, forgiving them, saving them, and sustaining them even if they found themselves in fragile and temporal vessels. As a living epistle from God to the world, a Christian is not called to simulate a personal strength that one will never have as a natural human being, nor is one called to dissimulate about the struggles and challenges one encounters because one is still in a fragile and temporal body. However, when the Christian, despite one's weakness, presents oneself made alive by faith in Christ and with a firm hope of life in the Lord, one communicates to people dissociated from God's salvation that it is in the Lord that they too can equally reach the newness of life that they so much need. Although many people think that the world needs more naturally strong people, Christians are also brought before them to testify that what human beings need is the strength of God to be able to live and walk in the novelty of life, and that this can be achieved for those who believe in the Lord even if naturally their life is a very fragile vessel. 2 Corinthians 4:6-11. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Galatians 2:19-20. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Christians are called to be living epistles to those around them in a similar way as those whose lives were recorded in the Scriptures. And for this reason, too, It is so crucial for Christians to be zealous so that what is written in them is written by the Holy Spirit of God. And finally, in the present subject, we want to reiterate that God is worthy of a Christian being zealous for good works, for what this Christian became in Christ Jesus and for what it is possible to accomplish in Christ. However, along with all this, or even above all this, because one's loving God is eternally worthy of all honor, worship, and praise, both in what the Christian believes in one's heart and what the Christian practices as the fruit of one's faith and trust in God. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Colossians 1:9-17. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Final greetings. Psalms 146, 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Revelation 14, 7. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The texts narrated in this audio are posted at www.zoominchristianlife.org. Greetings of peace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ.